is unmatched in the universe. And because of that love, we can love each other back. Who says amen to that today? I believe God is in this place, and I believe He is ready to speak to us. And so I want to begin by just reminding us of last week's message. Let me start by saying that I received a lot of feedback during the week. I got feedback from husbands, and I got feedback from wives, but never in each other's presence. The husbands said, "Pastor, I was very challenged by that word. Thank you for that." In some way, shape, or form, they felt as though they were challenged by the word of God, but they wanted to meet the challenge. And then the wives almost unanimously said to me, "Pastor, thank you for that word. I've been saying that for years." I hope you didn't do that to your husbands during the sermon, and I hope that you received the word of God last week, husbands. I hope, wives, this is the best week you've had in a while. Oh, man, maybe the husbands didn't take the advice. Well, we'll see. Today, we have an opportunity for the wives to hear a message to them as well. But, as I said last week, it doesn't matter if you're actually married. It doesn't matter if you're a husband or a wife. You could be a child. It doesn't matter. I believe the principles of today's message, even though it's pointed in the direction of wives, will still have application for everyone who is here. So make sure you listen up today as the Word of God is preached. Let's recap last Sabbath. Last Sabbath's sermon was entitled "The Metamodern Husband," and we learned that true spiritual headship is very different from what we find in the world. In fact, many of the attributes of being a spiritual head aren't exactly coveted by most husbands. We learned first that we are the first ones to blame if something goes wrong. As the head, we're the first to blame, but also we are the first to give up. We're the lead submitters in our families. That was a hard pill to swallow. But we also learned three other things. Number one, we are not ready to lead our wives until we can follow Christ. Number two, we are unable to truly love our wives until we can give ourselves up for them. And then number three, we should be a positive influence on our wives' holiness. If you remember that message from last week, say amen. If you're just hearing it for the first time today, say amen. Okay, there are a few of you that weren't here. That's okay. We have it up on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. Go to our YouTube channel. I think it's called Tacoma Park SDA Church. Just search that. Thank you, Michaela. I thought that was right. I wasn't sure. Just search that on YouTube. Follow us, and then you can get the messages from every single week. It's right there. And so you can catch up if you didn't hear that message already. Wives, encourage your husbands. Husbands, do it without your wives' encouragement. Just do it. It was a tough message, but we left here with the assurance that we can do all things through Christ, including loving our wives in times when we don't really feel like it. And we said that today's metamodern husband might be open to God's word in this regard because of the focus on love. Husbands, love your wives. Today, we shift our focus to our lovely wives. And I want to give the same warning and caution that I gave last week. Husbands, please don't use today as an opportunity to feel good about yourself and all the things that I'm going to say that you've already been telling your wives. Don't do that today. Resist the urge. In fact, here's my warning. No attitudes, husbands, of "I told you so" or "see, that's what I've been saying all along." No finger pointing, no jeering, no talking about how right you are. Not today. You got yours last week in silence. Now allow your bride to hear the Lord without having to hear your mouth too. Is that okay, wives? Husbands, stay back today. Let's pray and let's ask God to be with us as we consider this message, the metamodern wife. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for your word. And we want to start with the acknowledgement that your word is true and it is good and it is for us, even when it makes us uncomfortable. In fact, we know that it's really doing its job when we're uncomfortable. So bless us today, even in our discomfort, to never harden our hearts to your word. May the word of God be true and clear and obvious. May we have the Spirit of God to be able to follow it exactly as it says. Send your Holy Spirit to be our teacher this day. May we see Jesus Christ, and may we be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Metamodern Wife. Ephesians chapter 5. What book did I say? Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. We started last week right here, and we had to do it because we need to set the context for the full thing when we talk to husbands today. We're going to start here, and we're going to end at the end of Ephesians 5 to get some more context. We're going to begin with verse 22 and read to verse 24. I'd like everyone to read this along with me today as we consider the Word of God. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in how many things? Everything." Who says amen to God's word today? Wow.
Amen.
Amen and laughter at the same time. Lord, have mercy. It's going to be one of those messages today. The Metamodern Wife. This is a nightmare of a text for wives everywhere. You won't admit it. Just let me tell the truth today, though. We secretly hate this text, especially when our husbands make reference to it. We struggle with its words from the first time we ever hear it. Paul, to us, sounds like a caveman, a Neanderthal. Surely he could not have meant this literally, not for our day. He must have meant this for pure theoretical purposes. Today's metamodern woman is strong and empowered, but this text leaves us feeling weak and vulnerable. We secretly struggle with this passage because it makes us feel like we're going back in time to a time where women were property or didn't have a right to vote. If we could only update the wording a bit, maybe it would make more sense. And you don't have to be married for very long to realize that, yes, many husbands, maybe even yours, has indeed misinterpreted this text and bent it toward his favor. But it doesn't take away the plainness of the Word of God in this instance. No matter how we try to sidestep the Word, no matter which version we read it in, we go back to the original Greek, it's even worse. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's a troubling text. Paul doesn't mean something else when he says it either. He means exactly what you think he means. He's not speaking in code. He's not trying to trick anybody. We got to face it head on today and see what's behind these words. His word is perfect. That's the word of God. His word is true, and his word has never failed us in the past. If that's true, say amen today. God's word has never failed us. So maybe the key in this instance is to stop resisting and just follow the instructions willingly. But what is God saying? There's got to be more here. I want to understand what the word has to say. I hope you do too. So let's begin by first making some observations about the word submit. Our first observation is this. The word seems to have a negative connotation. If that's true, say amen. It seems to have a negative connotation. If you don't know what the word submit means biblically, from a worldly standpoint, there's no question. It rubs you the wrong way. Kind of reminds me of wrestling. Back in the day when I was a kid, I used to watch WWF, World Wrestling Federation is what it was. That's what it was called. It's been a long time. And I had some favorite wrestlers that I liked. Macho Man Randy Savage, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, The Iron Sheik. You guys remember these people? Yeah, some of y'all are old enough to know what I'm talking about. The Ultimate Warrior, and of course everybody's favorite, Hulk Hogan. You guys remember those guys? Well, each one of these guys had a special move that they would use, sometimes toward the end of the match to kind of sew things up. They would call it a submission hold. Submission hold. You've heard of one of these. Like the figure four leg lock. or the full Nelson, the half Nelson. You've heard these things before? Yeah. The purpose of those was to put you in so much pain for so long. Remember the sleeper hold? You know, hold the guy there, and all of a sudden he goes like this. He kind of falls asleep. You've seen that before. It took me a long time to find out this stuff was actually fake. I mean, it crushed my heart when I found out that wrestling was fake. I hated that day when I found that out. But here's the thing about that. All of these wrestling moves were designed to put the person in submission so that they would give up and lose the match. So when I think of the word submit, that's what comes to my mind. And it really makes me think, I wonder if many of us in our marriages are sort of like wrestling with our spouse. And we're constantly looking for some way to be able to put them in a submissive hold so that they'll give up what they say. Sometimes even quoting this text, to get your way. That's what we think of when we think of the word submit. It makes us feel like someone has come in and is forcing us to do something against our own will. So we naturally fight against it because it feels like somebody's taking something by force. In the world, submission is a bad thing. It's synonymous with losing, and we don't like to lose under any circumstances. Well, today, I want to reveal something about how different God's reality is from the world. For this word submit may be a bad word in the world, but it's actually a good word in heaven. We noticed it last week, and we're going to see it again today. In fact, wives, the key to your relationship with your husband is found in that word submit, but it's really a synonym of that word that I want you to focus on for today's message. The word is respect. Can you say respect? And respect is the key to your husband's heart. I literally, you have no idea. I just unlocked the secret to the happiness of your marriage. Respect is the key to your husband's heart. Husbands, if you already knew that, say amen. Maybe you didn't, I don't know. But where do we get this word respect from? Why am I saying the word respect is a synonym? How do we even come to that? Well, we heard it a little bit earlier in our passage for today. It was in our scripture reading earlier. And when you look back at verse 33, you will notice that Paul is restating everything for clarity, and he describes and admonishes the husbands and wives in what he said earlier by saying this. It's on the screen for you. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she does what to her husband, everybody? Respect her husband, Ephesians 5:33. So, in essence, Paul is saying, your submission, husbands, takes the form of love. We talked about that last week. And your submission, wives, takes the form of respect. Mutual submission. You're both submitting to each other. Remember verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the husband and wife both submit, but your submission looks different. Wives need to respect their husbands. This is very important because Paul uses different words for each of you as he describes your submission and what it's supposed to look like. And I believe his word usage is not misplaced, but is indeed deliberate. Notice, he never tells the wife to love her husband, and he never tells the husband to respect his wife. He's not saying that you don't have to do that, but presumably what he's saying is, we already tend to give what it is that we want to receive. In other words, Paul doesn't have to remind you to do something you're inclined to want from your spouse already. Instead, in different ways, the passage repeatedly urges the husband to love his wife and the wife to respect her husband. Paul is reminding you about the thing you will have a tendency to forget. Wives, respect your husbands. So now that's out of the way. There are three things I want to show you, wives. If you find a way to do these three things, I promise you, your marriage is going to go to another level. Just like your husband doing what he was supposed to do last week is already taking your marriage to another level this one week. I'm reminding the husbands again not to forget about last week. Here are the three things. First one, Ephesians 5:22. Go back there in your Bible and look, I have it on the screen. Here it is. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to who, everybody? To the Lord. The first thing we learn from this text is our husbands should get our unconditional respect. Okay, right, wives, repeat after me. Remember, we did this last week and the husbands were pitiful, so wives, you got to do a better job this week. All right, wives, you ready? Repeat after me. I will respect you even when you don't act respectable. You did pretty good with the first part. Second part, you kind of mumbled a little bit. Now, say this by faith, because I know you don't know the point yet, but it's going to make sense. I will respect you even when you don't act respectable. Who says amen to that today? All right, so wives, just as you need your husband to love you unconditionally, even when you're not being particularly lovable, your husband needs you to demonstrate that same respect for him, regardless of whether he's meeting your expectations at that moment. Unconditional means not based on what someone else is doing. The reason we're able to accomplish this is because it's not contingent upon whether or not your husband actually deserves your respect. We give our respect to our husbands because of Jesus. Jesus treats you with love and respect all the time. He never takes that away, and he's our example in everything. So Paul says, respect your husband the same way you would respect the Lord. One author says it this way: we've become such a love-dominated culture that we've come to think that love should be unconditional, but respect should be earned. So we make our men love us unconditionally, and then we withhold our respect from them because he hasn't earned it yet. But ladies, what we fail to recognize is there is a connection for your man between love and respect that you may not realize is there. Take a look at this. I'm going to show it to you. There was a survey question that were given to men asking them about what they would choose if they had the unfortunate circumstance of picking between these two horrible realities. Would you rather, men, they asked, would you rather be alone and unloved or inadequate and disrespected? Would you rather be alone and unloved or inadequate or disrespected? Almost 75%, 3 out of 4 said they'd rather be alone and unloved than feel inadequate or disrespected. I wonder how many wives would have answered it that way. Men in general want to matter, and they want to know that they matter to at least one person. And if there's one person in the world that I want to matter to, it's my wife, and that's enough for me. And if your husband feels that way, he will feel it largely through your respect of him. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. This person that was giving the survey, that was giving it to husbands, actually asked somebody else to administer the survey for her. And when she got the results back, there was something scribbled on the paper. It says, a lot of guys fussed over question number 3. Question number 3 is the one I just read to you just now. Would you rather be alone and unloved or be unimportant and disrespected, right? That was question 3. A lot of men said they didn't feel that the choice was very different. In other words, ladies, your husband equates the two. If he feels disrespected, he's going to feel unloved. The two are the same for him. Your husband sees love through the prism of respect. He may not even know to articulate that, but it's true nonetheless. So if you want to love your man the way he needs to be loved, then you need to ensure that he always feels respected. Most of all, your husband needs your unconditional respect as to the Lord. Now, I want to clarify something. I want to make sure you don't get off on the wrong track, because somebody's going to misquote me later and say the pastor said this, and I didn't say it. All right? So let's be careful right now. I want you to understand what this text is not saying. Paul is not admonishing you to allow your husband to take the place of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Your husband's not the Lord. Husband, say amen to that if that's true. Your husband is not the Lord. That's not what Paul is saying here. But what he is saying is, the phrase as to the Lord does not put a woman's husband in place of the Lord, but shows rather that a woman ought to submit to her husband as an act of submission to the Lord. You don't get it yet. In other words, when we submit to and respect our husbands unconditionally, we are demonstrating our true feelings about God. Let me pause, because somebody said something to me at the end of the message, last sermon, at first service. I want to make sure this is clear. Have I said the word obey yet? That's on purpose. Wives, I'm not saying you are your husband's child. I need to point this out again. Next Sabbath, I'm going to talk about parenting. And in next Sabbath's sermon, there is a word, obey, when it talks about the child-parent relationship. Notice that word is conspicuously absent from this text. Who says amen to that today? Make sure you understand what I'm not saying. If that's clear, say amen. The synonym for the word submit is the word respect. If Paul wanted to use the word obey, he would have used it. He was in the next chapter. He doesn't use it on purpose because wives and husbands are meant to be equals. That's how God created them in the beginning. Who says amen to that today? Good. So go back and rewind to that part of the sermon when somebody tries to say, I said something else. I said what I just said. So, let me further explain this point, that when we submit or respect our husbands unconditionally, we're demonstrating our true feelings about God. How do I know? God's reality says that we always prove how we feel about God by the way we treat human beings. And you already know this to be true because the Bible says in 1 John 4:20, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a what? A liar. Whoever does not love his brother or sister who they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So the Bible is pointing out this causal connection between loving God and loving human beings. We prove that we really love God when we show love to others, especially when they don't deserve it. And we don't put a person in the place of God by loving them for God's sake, do we? No, that's never been true. So in the same way, we are not putting our husbands in the place of God when we decide to give them unconditional respect like we would the Lord. We are submitting to them for Christ's sake out of reverence for Christ. Just like we said your husband's supposed to do. We said that last week. So that we can accomplish it even when our husbands are not always being respectable. Because we're not motivated initially by who they are, but by who God is. And God never changes. The way he treats us, wives, is the way that should motivate us to also treat our husbands for God's sake, not even for our husband's sake. In that way, we demonstrate our feelings about God in how we respect our husbands. So our husbands should always get our unconditional respect. I told you this is going to be a hard message. It's going to look a little bit harder, though, as the points continue. Here's the second one, Ephesians 5:23. Remember now, this is the word of God. For the husband, read it with me, is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The second thing we see in this text is our husbands should feel important because we treat them as such. Our husbands should feel important because we treat them like they are important, because they are. Repeat after me. My man means a lot to me. Okay, wives, your man's sitting right beside you probably. Say it like you think he's right there and like you really mean it. My man means a lot to me. Who says amen to that today? Now, did you notice, wives, in the text, what kind of company Paul puts the husbands in? Our husbands are in the same sentence as Jesus. And even though your husband will mostly fall short of what Christ has done, Jesus is your husband's example. And because of this, he is very important in your life. Your husband has an important role in your life. We learned last Sabbath, not only is your husband the spiritual head, but he also takes responsibility for influencing his wife towards holiness. And the husband has an important role in his wife's life and salvation. And he desperately needs to feel that from you from time to time. Show your man you think he's important. A man can feel important when his wife respects his judgment. So I'm giving you some tips now, a couple of tips on ways that you can increase your respect factor with your husband. And you may not even realize these are connected. Your wife, your husband, will feel respected when you respect his judgment. So resist the urge to question or second guess every suggestion he makes. I'm helping you out here. Your husband deeply needs the woman in his life to respect his knowledge, his opinions, and his decisions. Here's some amens from husbands now. The person amen, the one in the front that amen, doesn't have his wife sitting beside him, so he was safe when he amen just now. Okay, there's a book that I love. In fact, it has a companion. This book I'm about to quote is called For Women Only, and this woman that wrote it, her name is Shanti Feldman. But there's also a companion to it called For Men Only, and one is written for husbands, the other one is written for wives. So here is a quote from her book, For Women Only, and she says that she surveyed husbands, and here's what she found. Many men confessed that they feel as if their opinions and decisions were actively valued in every area of life. How many areas? Every area of life, except at home. In fact, several men explicitly told her that their comrades at work seemed to trust their judgment more than their wives did. Now, wives, that's a sad commentary about many of our husbands right here in this church. Your husband needs to feel that he's important in his own home, if nowhere else. Don't let your husband get something at work that he can't get from home. It may encourage him to stay at work longer. Your husband can feel important when you respect his judgment. But he can also feel important when you respect his abilities. Men like to figure things out for themselves. And if they can, they feel like they've conquered something and they're affirmed as men. The issue is that if you try to help your man out, then he may interpret that as distrust. I know you don't mean it that way, but that may be how he interprets it. So sometimes, let your man figure it out on his own. I'm giving you another secret. Wives, there's a reason why your husband doesn't pull over to ask for directions. There's a reason. It's because if he can find his way through the hazards and of the concrete jungle with only the tattered map that he has in his hand and his wits, he can feel like he's conquering something. So respect your husband's abilities. By the way, the meta-modern wife will be tempted to dismiss what I just said as some kind of macho mumbo-jumbo. But it's not. Resist the urge to diminish your husband's needs in this area. Your man needs to know that you think he's important, and your man needs to know that you trust his judgment and his abilities. He's got to know that. And it's not stroking his ego, because that's a negative. That's not what this is. Don't belittle his need to feel important. It's just something that's in his DNA. He can't change it. He can't help it. It's the same as you needing to be loved all the time. All the time, that's right. Just accept it as a real need and be proud that you can be the one to fulfill that need. And by the way, I'm going to tell you another secret. If you learn to fulfill it, your husband will never go anywhere else for it. He'll never go anywhere else for it. Not to his job, not to some other woman at his job, not to pornography. He'll never search for it anywhere else because his wife gives it to him willingly. He feels good when he's needed out in the world, but nothing gives him more joy than knowing that his bae thinks the world of him at home. Our husbands should feel important because we treat them as such. Last one. This last one's not actually as bad. In fact, I'm hoping it feels good to you wives. Ephesians 5:24. Last one. Read it with me, everybody, on the screen. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also should wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Here's our third and final point. Here it is. True and meaningful submission comes from strength, not weakness. Repeat after me. It's only meaningful when I decide to respect. Who says amen to that today? Now notice that Paul tells the wives to submit to their own husbands. In fact, in this particular passage, when I read it from mine, it actually says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. So Paul is saying something here to the wives that's important for us to understand. Paul is teaching us to avoid the extreme view of male superiority. Now, I teased this last week, but I'm coming back to it now, because he says, your own husband. It's a very important distinction that he makes. Paul is not saying, everybody say not. Paul is not saying that wives must be submissive simply because of their sexual orientation. Wives, you are not submitting because you're a woman and he's a man. That's not the reason. It doesn't say submit to all men. It says specifically to your own husband. And Paul is saying something here. The passage is not about inferiority or about you knowing your place. That's not what this is about. Paul is deliberate here. He is willful and purposeful in what he says. What he's talking about now is a purposeful yielding. Wives, make sure you listen to me here. What I'm about to say defies human logic. In fact, what I'm going to say only makes sense in God's reality. You ready for it? There is strength and power in submission. It may not feel like it, but there is. And this isn't just something I'm telling you so you'll want to submit more. That's not why I'm saying this. This is something we learn as we examine the life of Jesus. Think about Jesus. The whole time Jesus was here, it looked like Jesus was losing. Right? Even as he died on the cross, it seemed like the devil won. But little did Satan know that Jesus was conquering the world and conquering the kingdom of Satan through submission. The strongest act in history was accomplished not by force, but by giving up. So we have extreme power when we submit. Look what Peter says. This is 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, same kind of thing, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word, but by the conduct of their wives. You hear that? Peter declares that submission is so powerful that it can turn the heart of an unbelieving husband to Jesus because of the conduct of the wife. He'll be amazed that you respect him even when he's not being respectable, and his heart will turn toward Christ. He won't even know what hit him. Power through submission. It's counterintuitive, I know. It doesn't make sense in the world, only to the Christian heart, but it's the word of God, and it must be true. You don't have to submit from a position of frailty or pitifulness. Jesus was the strongest entity to ever walk the earth. He could have in 1 second snapped his finger and everyone would have died. The strongest person decided to lay it aside, never used it for his own advantage. He had physical brute strength, but he conquered through submission. Submission's best aspects come from a position of strength. Submit means to yield one's own rights. It's knowing you have the power and the right to do something, but willingly giving that up in deference toward your husband. And that reveals the most important aspect of demonstrating respect. It is a choice. A decision we make out of reverence for God and love for our husbands, not something that we have to have our arms twisted to do. It's a choice. So before I close, I want to answer the million-dollar question. Here it is. You may be thinking it right now. Here's the million-dollar question. What does a wife do when she no longer has respect for her husband in her heart? See, most wives respect their husband, but they have trouble expressing that respect all the time by their actions. That may be the category that most of you are in. But what about the wife who has genuinely lost respect for her husband in her heart? How does she now respect him? I want to suggest two things. First of all, you and your husband may be stuck in a catch-22. It could be that your husband does not give you enough love, so you don't give enough respect, so he feels slighted and doesn't give enough love, and the cycle continues. That's possible. So it's possible that your choice to respect him may actually break the cycle. But here's the other thing. Here's the second thing. Genuine feelings often follow words or actions rather than the other way around. So don't wait until you feel like respecting him to start. Start respecting him and watch your feelings of respect start to come back. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. You don't do it because of how you feel. You do it because you decided to based on what God says. Your choice to show respect can actually transform your entire relationship. You have that power. True and meaningful submission comes from strength, not weakness. So that's it. Wives, I'm going to give you a chance now to respond to the Word of God by raising your hand if you agree. If you want to start respecting your husband unconditionally, raise your hand. Good. If you know you can't do it by yourself, raise your other hand. Now say, I surrender. Praise the Lord. I know it's a tough couple of weeks. Next Sabbath will be easier because it's going to be about your kids and, you know, you can whatever. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I want to end with this story. This is a story about some family members of mine, an aunt and uncle. I've actually told you the second half of this story, told from a slightly different perspective, but I want to tell you this part too. I have an aunt who grew up in the church, and she was Adventist her whole life, believed in the Lord, a very devout Christian woman, and she married my uncle who was not a believer. He was a good guy. If you pressed him hard enough, he might say he believed in God. But for the most part, there was nothing evident in his life that said, you know, he was really a believer. He didn't go to church, nothing like that. And they were together for a number of years. They're still together today. My aunt loved her husband, and my uncle loved his wife. They were in love with each other. My aunt demonstrated what I would say is unconditional respect. And there was something that, as I look back on their lives, that was remarkable to me, because my aunt is one of these people that she's very opinionated and she has no problem telling you what she thinks. In fact, whether you ask for it or not, you're going to hear it. Happened all the time. Except in this one instance with my uncle not going to church. I never once heard my aunt express out of her mouth that she wanted him to go or that maybe he could go next time, or how come he doesn't go to church, or whatever. Nothing like that. She never outwardly expressed her opinion about the fact that he was on the road to damnation. You know what I'm saying? But she was one of those kind of people that would say it all the time. Any other kind of thing, she would give you a piece of her mind, no matter what. And as I look back on it, I realize, I think she was trying to show respect to my uncle. That's what I realized. She never belittled him. She never guilt-tripped him. She never made eye contact and then rolled her eyes afterward when she was on her way to church. She didn't mumble under her breath as she got dressed that she wished he would come sometimes. She never did that. She would get up, get the kids, and go to church. By the way, he was this type of non-believer that didn't mind if the kids were raised in it. So every week, she would take the kids to church with her, never a problem. Now something happened, and I told you the second half of this story before. As the kids got older, the oldest of the two stayed in the church, stayed as a believer. The youngest of the two decided he was gonna leave. And eventually, this is the part of the story I told you already, the younger of the two decided to get baptized. And when he did, his father ended up following in his footsteps and got baptized too. You know what happened? You know what the thing was that my aunt was doing that entire time while she was being silent about her feelings? You know what she was doing? Her knees were getting black as she was on them praying for her son and husband. She never stopped praying. She never stopped believing that God was going to work on their hearts. And eventually one day he did. In fact, he'd been working that whole time. They just yielded to him. That's the kind of power that you have in your relationship with your husband if you learned to wield respect. You can wield it in a way that gives you power in your relationship. You'd be surprised. You have the power right now to even make your unbelieving husband, who isn't in church right now, that you wish would come, start coming to the Lord. You have that power. You know how? Unconditional respect. Now here's the thing. Your husband is going to disappoint you. He's not perfect. He's going to mess up. There are times when he may even accidentally sort of rise up and do the opposite of what Ephesians 5 says to do. He may do that. And when he does, you're going to be tempted to hit him between the eyes with what he just gave you. And I'm saying, resist the temptation. Treat him like he's the Lord, even though you know good and well he's not. I think this is the toughest part of marriage. And this is why I always say that I believe that God is saving us through our marriages. You know why? Because in no other walk of life is it necessary for you to be quite this selfless. If somebody on your job isn't acting right, you can quit and just get another job. Or you can just stop talking to that person. No big deal. But you can have a miserable marriage if you decide to do that in your marriage. This is the only place where you gotta stick it out and work it out. And sometimes it's hard. But if you put the work in, and if you use some of these tools, if you use some of these techniques, you'd be surprised. Your marriage will skyrocket and go to the next level, and the two of you will be happier than you've ever been before. Because you each decided to do what Ephesians 5 said. Unconditional love, husbands. Unconditional respect, wives. So are there any wives who really want to take this challenge? Who want to pledge today that they're going to give their husbands unconditional respect? If you're here today, I want to just invite you to stand to your feet, whoever you are. Just stand. You're saying, I want to stand in the power of Jesus Christ to do something I know I don't have the power to do. And by standing, I'm saying, I'm going to commit to it today, and I'm going to trust God to do it through me tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Father, you see these wives who are standing today. You know their hearts, and you know that they really want to fulfill what they're saying. But you also know that they are human beings, and they don't have the power to do it by themselves. So God, give them an extra portion of your Spirit. We're surrendering to you today, and we're saying, we know we can't do it alone. Please do it through us. So that we can be saved through our marriages. We want to be happy, we want to be healthy, and we want to be whole. We want to be in heaven one day. So, Father, use our marriages to save us and bless these wives so that when Jesus comes, they can be saved in your kingdom. In his name, we pray together and we say thank you and amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.